I want to share with you this morning two stories about God's grace. And to do that, I'd like to begin by explaining a little of what God's grace is. And very simply, it's the result of Almighty God reaching down to a world that had rejected Him, a world that had broken His perfect laws, a world that had even crucified His Son, and yet reaching down to offer us His love, His forgiveness, His power and purpose for this life, and an eternity with Him in a perfect existence when this life is over. And grace each day to live lives that please Him. And it's grace because it's absolutely free. We don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve God's forgiveness. And yet we never avoid the punishment that we do deserve without it. And so God gives it as a gift of grace. But because it's a gift, each individual must for themselves receive it by giving control of their lives into the hands of Jesus. This morning, Serena and Sarah will testify to that fact in their own experience as they are baptized. That's grace. And the first story of grace I want to remind you or to share with you is about grace that came looking. We find it in Luke chapter 19. It's a story about a man named Zacchaeus. Luke 19 introduces us to the story. In verses 1 to 4, this is what we read. Jesus entered Jericho, quite a sizable city, and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Here was a man in Zacchaeus who I feel had used his disadvantage in life to his material advantage. His disadvantage was that he was short. And seeing that that is especially mentioned in the passage, and also it's mentioned that he had to go to the extent of climbing a tree, we can presume that he was unusually short. I guess he'd been one of those kids at school who everyone was always saying, "Don't worry, you have a growth spurt soon." By the time he got into his 20s, they decided not to say it anymore. A guy who was always smaller than everyone else, even the girls. A guy who was picked upon. A guy who was considered rather weedy, always left out of the games and the adventures. Always the butt of some joke or some hurtful remark. A disadvantage he had to bear through his life, and I would imagine that it resulted for him in a whole lot of bitterness. So how did he use this disadvantage to his material advantage? Well, I reckon that when he became a man who had suffered from this disadvantage all his life, he realized that one way he could actually get his own back on everybody who had been having a go at him all his life was to become a tax man. You see, I reckon he thought, well, I'm despised already because of my size, so why not go the whole hog? Why not work for the hated Romans and collect taxes? Become a tax collector who could fleece the peasants who had insulted him most of his life in a legal or at least a semi-legal way. You see, as a tax collector, it didn't matter how big you were. You had the power of the Roman army behind you to enforce what you said and they had some really big soldiers in their army. And so Zacchaeus went on to become a tax collector. But not just a tax collector, he became the chief tax collector. He must have been really good at it. The chief tax collector in the city of Jericho, which was quite a large city. And as a tax collector, he became, we're told in the scripture, a very wealthy man. He had power, he had position, lots of money, and the friends that come when you've got lots of money. So in a sense, you could say that now Zacchaeus had reached the part or the point in his life when he had it made. He had things going his way. One thing he definitely did not need at that point was suddenly to get a conscience, or to join himself with someone like Jesus, who already had a name as being the possible Messiah who was going to defeat Rome. And of course, Rome happened to be the person or the group that employed Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus was curious. That really was his, I'm going to say, downfall, his uplift in the end. He was curious. That's why he climbed the tree to see Jesus go by. He must have been extremely curious to climb that tree, I reckon, as a wealthy, short man. And yet, because he climbed that tree to see Jesus, this man he had heard so much about, going past, God's grace, in the form of Jesus, came looking that day for Zacchaeus. That's the only way I can explain it. That all the other people, kids, youth, who would have been climbing trees, and all the other people beside the road, and the Lord stopped and looked up at Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, get down from that tree. You've got a guest for supper. I'm coming to your place. How wonderful that is. That is God's grace looking for Zacchaeus. Jesus looked into his face, and he looked past his face into his heart. And that grace, that undeserved favour of God, made Zacchaeus realise how much he needed the forgiveness that was on offer. And that day, he received a new life. His life was absolutely changed. He immediately gave away half of all he owned to the poor. That's very hard to do when you're very rich. Then he took the other half, or most of it, I would think, because he gave back to those who had cheated four times what he had taken from them. And I reckon there was a lot of people that he had cheated. But more importantly than that, we see him inviting his friends to his house to meet Jesus. And we see Zacchaeus standing up for Jesus before his friends and even calling Jesus his Lord. I always loved the old story of the conversion of Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, a great preacher, Baptist preacher in England in the last few decades of the 1800s, called the Prince of Preachers. His conversion, I think, is wonderful. He wasn't converted because he was curious, but because he had a need for shelter. You see, he was caught on a Sunday morning in a blizzard. And because of the blizzard, he went to a shelter in a church that happened to have a service on. Not many people there that day, because hardly anybody could get there. It was so bad, the weather. In fact, the preacher couldn't even get there. So an old farmer was given the message, quite unprepared, which meant he didn't really have that much to say. So therefore he just singled out the young man who was sitting in the back row and asked him directly, young man, are you saved? And Spurgeon was hit by that, as though God had spoken to him. He looked at his life and realised that he wasn't sure what was going to happen to him in the future, and he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Was it a coincidence that he was there that morning? I don't think so. I reckon that was grace come looking for him. And perhaps today, God's grace is here looking for you, offering you an eternal lifeline, a way to begin life again, to wash the slate clean, but offering you the gift of forgiveness and also the power to live and to know the touch of the Lord God upon your life, and know that he will keep you and watch over you, and that it will be his goodness that will keep you and not your own. Grace that came looking. The second story is about grace discovered. It's a story that we had read to us about the Ethiopian eunuch from Acts chapter 8, and it's just so different to the story of Zacchaeus. This story is about a visitor to Jerusalem from Ethiopia, an Ethiopian. He wasn't a Jew, he was what was known as a Gentile, a non-Jew. He was a very high-ranking official, it seems, in the treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia. But he was also, and especially, a seeker after the true God. Brought up in his own land to follow after their gods, he had obviously found no satisfaction in the gods of his own land. So he had gone to Jerusalem, there to worship the God of the Jews. Here was a man who was seriously looking for God's grace. Well, while in Jerusalem, it would seem to me that he was so moved by what he heard about this God that he had purchased, possibly at no small cost to himself, the scroll of Isaiah. And there, on the way home in his chariot, in the desert, he began to read it. And it's interesting, the passage he's reading is a passage about suffering. About someone who, through their suffering, could somehow cover the sins of others. Someone, by their sufferings, could actually give relief to the sorrows of others. You know, I sense that this eunuch, this castrated male, because that's what he was made a eunuch, no doubt, perhaps from birth, perhaps as a young boy, so that he could be part of that select group that could work in the loyal group around the queen. But this used man, I reckon he would have known a lot about suffering. I reckon he knew a lot about sorrow in his own life, and perhaps about sin and wrongdoing. I think he knew a lot about that too, his own and others. And when Philip, sent by God, joined the chariot, and the Ethiopian asked him in Acts 8:34 the question, if the prophet talking here about himself or someone else, I reckon that was a cry from the Ethiopian's heart. Because if indeed it was someone else the prophet was referring to, someone who could lift his sorrows, someone who could soothe his sufferings, someone who could cover his wrongdoings, then that was someone that the Ethiopian needed to know about. And there in the chariot, we're told, Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him about Jesus. About the Lord Jesus Christ, recently crucified, rose from the dead, ascended to glory. Just in the months before, and Philip now tells him the story and tells him that Jesus is this one who can bear your sorrows because he's borne them for you. Cover your sins because he died on the cross for you. Give you life and hope because he rose from the dead. And the seeker, this Ethiopian, he discovered the gift of God's grace. And he opened his heart and life to the message of Jesus. He discovered Jesus Christ as the Saviour he had been looking for. And his life was changed. He had been on a journey looking for God's grace, and God arranged it. Don't forget that. God arranged it so that he could find it. And that may be the story of someone here. Perhaps it's your story, that you look at your Christian life and you knew that you looked for God's gift of grace and God helped you to find it. Or it may be here that you've been looking for God's gift of grace up to this point. God's help in your pain, in your suffering, in your sense of going nowhere, achieving very little. And today, God reaches out to your heart and offers you the way to know him as your Lord and Saviour. So it was there in that chariot that this guy became a Christian. And his first thought was to declare his trust in Jesus to the servants and others with him. There would have been quite a retinue that day. His servants, other officials, other people. And he wanted to declare what had happened in his life by being baptized. Here is water. Is there enough for me to be baptized? There was. They went down to the water and he was baptized. He proclaimed that he had followed the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, over 2,000 years later, we're still doing the same thing. Here today, Sarah and Serena, who have received the gift of God's grace, will come forward and be baptized. They too have been changed and are being changed from within. Something's happening to them. But they have someone else who is Lord of their lives now, who's in control, and that is Jesus. That's the Lord God. They are far from perfect. Some of you know that better than others. In fact, if you ask them, they would tell you that they are more aware now of their failings than they ever were before. They are also aware that there is an evil one, an evil presence in our world, which will attack and will make things difficult when you choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But they are not trusting in themselves or in their own power, but in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so by this act of baptism this morning, they call upon you to do the same, to trust also in him who died for them and rose again to be their Saviour. To look to God with a responsive heart and to receive the gift of grace, which is his gift to you. We're going to sing a song. It talks about being a new creation. After this song, I will come back out and the girls will come and they will share their story with you. And then after they've shared that story, then I will baptize them. When we come to the baptism, after each one has been baptized, we will sing another song, and we'd ask you to remain seated and to follow the leaders of singers as they sing that song after each baptism. And then I will share a little bit more with you, then we'll sing a final song, then Peter will finish our service for us.
Well, welcome to Serena and my baptism today. I'm extremely nervous, so let me start by saying I always knew that there was something out there for me, but was never sure which way to start looking for the direction. You see, there's so many churches that I was scared that I just did not know which one was right for me. I was going through a very difficult time in my life and needed help both emotionally and physically. I was very fortunate that my Auntie Julie was in a position to come over from England for a short visit to help and give me help. I am so thankful that God put her in this position as towards the end of her visit, one evening I opened up to her and started to ask some very difficult questions. She was the person to answer some of these questions, and then together we prayed and I became a Christian. I found that I cried, and I feel that I was cleansed then and there. I know that every journey is different for everyone, but at the time I thought this was normal for all Christians. The next day, Julie and I started to look for a church, and there were a Baptist church, and there were a couple in the directory, and one of which was Craigie. I said to Julie, "Well, I'm not going there because I just don't like Craigie suburb. It will be full of people I will not like." And that wasn't very Christian of me. It was not like I lived in a yuppie area. I was in Padbury, just across the road. Anyway, we went to look at all the others, and for various reasons, I ruled them out one by one. "No, that's not for me. No, that's not for me." Julie said again, "Let's look at this one in Craigie." "Okay," I agreed. When we got here on Friday, we pulled into the car park and I said, "Okay, I will get out and have a look as it's okay from the outside." I was pleasantly surprised and it felt right. That evening, Julie got ready to go home as she was leaving on Saturday. She said, "You're not going to go on your own, will you?" "Yes," I said, "the kids are at their dad's this weekend and I will come alone. Then if I do not like it, it will not affect the kids." We prayed about it, and the following day, Julie left. Sunday morning was here, and I was so scared. I thought, what if these people do not like me? What if I do not fit in? And what if they do not have many young families? What if, when I walked up the stairs, I was greeted? I said, "Hi, I'm a brand new Christian, and I need to find a church for me and my family." "Oh, that's fantastic," and a huge hug. "Come in," said Helen. "I will sit you down with Don, and he'll look after you." I looked around and couldn't see any children, and I started to worry. Then Don explained that the church was quiet because most of the families were away at church camp. That day was so fantastic. At the end, I was advised that the congregation had been praying for young families to join the church. I know it was God that led me here. You see, he put all the pieces of the puzzle together. The church prayed firstly, then he brought Julie, and Julie was the one to answer the questions and point me in the direction of Craigie Baptist Church, the smaller congregation, so that it would not be overwhelming for me to handle, and the open arms and the love of everyone in church. Thank you to Helen, Don, and Valda that day for wrapping me up and looking after me and becoming my family. Sorry. You will always be so special to me. The next week I met Keith Hall, who advised me that God had answered his prayers and that I... And I thought, "You're not what I expected." During the service, with my kids there, I witnessed Keith singing and dancing on the stage. And really, I thought, he is great. I did not know pastors act like that. And he proved me wrong, and thank God. Then I had to sell my home, which was a very difficult time for all of my family. I do not want to go into too much about this time. I have never felt such overwhelming support as when the Bible study group turned up to help paint my home and tidy up ready for sale the week before it was going on the market. They just dropped everything. Everyone helped, and I'm so thankful to you all. But one thing that stood out was that June brought me a meal to save me cooking. At the time, I was crying and did not really appreciate it much, as I should have. But later, when everyone had gone home, I sat and ate the shepherd's pie, and it was the best shepherd's pie I'd ever tasted. At this point, I realized that I had a huge extended family, and that these church people were all right. God provided in many ways. At this time, my mother-in-law supported me in any way she could, and she put up with many situations with me. Without all her love and help, I would not be where I am now. So, Denise, I want to say a huge thank you. And thank you for just loving me as a daughter, even through our separation, and I love you. A few weeks on, one morning, I knew a good friend who had been watching my changes as I grew in church, and she did not have her children with her. So I phoned and invited her to come, if she liked, and to my surprise, she came. I will let her tell you more about that later. Anyway, she came that morning and is still here today. And she is an inspiration, as sometimes when I feel like not coming, I think of Serena and how no matter what, she never misses a week. I am very proud that together we are learning and together we are going to be baptized. And I will never forget this day, so thank you, Serena. As the year came round, my first year anniversary was approaching. Church camp. I could not wait to go and see what it was all about. Wow, what a fun, what caring time, and what an emotional roller coaster for me. I just loved it, and so did my children. We had so much fun there, but the most overwhelming time for me was when we all had to stand in a line in order of when we joined the church, and I realized that I wasn't so new after all. In fact, there were about 15 new people who had joined since me, and I realized that I was a bigger part of this picture now, and I hadn't even realized it as the case happened. I can not wait for the next one. And Christmas came around, and I witnessed the fun of our church again and the creativity in our nativity. I have never seen a nativity before in church, and feel the true message about Jesus' birth was fantastic for me and the kids. I am thankful that my children do not have to wait 32 to get it. Then at Easter, again, it really brought home to me why it is important to remember the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Elaine had been teaching Serena and I about this, and I was getting the message, but at Easter time I really got it. I watched the movie The Passion of Christ again, but now as a Christian, and now it was so much different. I cried as I watched the graphic details of what happened and why. And yes, it was full of my sins. He gave his life for me. Yes, I am sorry, my Lord. I am so thankful to you for what you did for me. Thank you. I touched a tiny bit about Elaine and Terry. They play a very special part in my Christian life. They too have been there to answer questions and guide me and teach me, especially Elaine. Elaine, you made my study happen. Once again, God brought you to me. I know, I believe, that you could help me understand the words. And my light bulb moment started to happen. You know what I mean? When you read something, and no matter how many times you read it, you just don't get it straight away. Then somebody teaches you and about something else, and bing, the light bulb goes on. And it's all so clear, and you remember, and you understand. Elaine, you've been the switch for my light bulb so many times. And now I really hope that you'll be there for as long as you feel okay to put up with me. So thank you, Elaine. Talking of questions and learning, I realize the questions will never end and there is so much to learn. And this leads me to the reason I kept putting off my baptism. You see, I thought, as I'm sure many of you have at some stage, I thought I did not even know enough about the Bible and about Jesus and that I was not worthy yet to get baptized. And then I realized through talking to Keith Hall that it was quite the opposite. It is really just the beginning. I, amongst many of you, was privileged to see and witness Scott's baptism not long ago and remember the feeling of excitement that day. I just was looking forward to it. I did not even know Scott. I just knew that I was going to be involved in something very special. What I did not expect that day was how watching him in his journey would affect me, and it did. When Pastor Keith said, if anyone would like to come forward, I basically just went straight forward, crying from inside out. I just knew it was my turn and it was right moment. Afterwards, I went to Scott and thanked him for the privilege and told him how he had affected me. So, Scott, if you're here, thank you. What a journey, of course. With many journeys, there are ups and downs. And I am sure there will be many battles the closer I get to God. I know that it will be a hard journey, but definitely one that I would like to share with you today. In my life, I have done many things that I'm not proud of, and I'm not needing to go into them now, as God knows, and that's all that matters. I know that when, at the beginning of my journey, I prayed with Julie, he forgave me. And with each new step, I'm trying to change my ways, but I know it will not happen overnight. So I ask for your help by just simply praying for me. Thank you for listening and being a witness to my new beginnings.
Well, good morning all. Very nervous. Okay. Well, my journey started in July last year. I was sitting in my garden one Saturday night when all of a sudden I thought I might ring Sarah and ask if I could go to church with her in the morning, as I didn't have the boys for the day. I brushed the thought away, but a while later the same thought popped back into my head to phone Sarah about church. I decided not to, though. Then Sunday morning, just after Jake and Luke were picked up by their dad, Sarah phoned to ask me if I would like to go to church with her. I couldn't believe it. I saw it as a sign and had to say yes. The first service I attended moved me so much, I knew I had to come back again. I told Jake and Luke about going to church and asked if they would like to go. They weren't too sure to start with, but decided to give it a go. The following Sunday, we all went to church. The boys had a great time and wanted to come again, so that's what we did. I started looking forward to Sundays. I felt like I belonged somewhere for the first time in so long. The more I came to church, the more I wanted to learn and be around people like you. Church camp was coming up, and Pastor Keith asked if I would like to go. I wasn't sure if we should go or not, telling myself that I can't handle being around so many people for so long. Well, we did go and had a great time for the most part. I kept thinking I shouldn't be here. I'm not good enough to be here. I kept trying to push these thoughts out of my head. By the time the Sunday service started, I was so confused and upset because I didn't know why I was feeling like this. Don came over and spoke to me and asked if I was okay. I said I was fine. Elaine came and found me. She really helped me understand why I was feeling like this. Elaine told me, the closer I get to God, the more the evil one would try his hardest to stop me. And believe me, he's tried. Then the summer holidays came along and all studies stopped. I was quite upset by this. So I asked Pastor Keith why everything had to stop. I wanted to learn about the Word of God, but there was no one to teach me. Elaine heard I would like to do some kind of Bible study during the holiday and offered her services. I took Elaine up on her offer straight away. I didn't need to think about it. I asked Sarah if she would like to do the study with us. Sarah said yes, and the studies began. A couple of weeks into the Bible studies, Elaine told me about giving myself to God. I didn't know I had to. I thought going to church and trying harder to help others was all I needed to do in God's eyes, but Elaine put me straight. Over the next few weeks, Elaine would ask me if I had done it yet. It took me a few weeks of, am I good enough? Should I learn more before I commit my life to God? Then one evening, I felt it was the right time. I felt I needed him in my life now and forever. I knew he had been a big strength for me already and had helped me through so much. I knew I had to go to the foot of the cross and give my life to God to do his will. Life didn't really get any easier, but I knew I wasn't on my own anymore. I now had God and my new church family with me. So many of you have been a part of my journey, helping me stay on the right path. Elaine has been a big part of my journey, helping me understand the scriptures and the lessons we were doing in our Bible study group while having a good chat and a laugh. Thank you, Elaine, for being such a good friend. Then there was Scott's baptism. I was really moved by it. I thought it was beautiful. After Scott was baptized, Pastor Keith asked if anyone felt the need to go to the front. I guess Sarah did. I saw her nearly running down the front, sobbing. I stood there thinking how wonderful that Sarah had been touched like that. I just stood at the back telling myself I wasn't ready or good enough yet, even though I felt a pull inside to go to the front. But again, I pushed the thought away and didn't move. I couldn't stop thinking about getting baptized. So eventually I asked Pastor Keith if I could do the baptism course, still thinking I wasn't ready yet or I didn't know enough about the Bible yet. All the excuses put there by the evil one. Well, Sarah and myself started the lessons, only to stop after the first week, as stuff was happening in both our lives. So I thought it was a sign that it was too soon for me. But I realised he was putting thoughts in my head again. Well, term two started and the lessons began again. At our first lesson, Keith asked us if we had thought about when we would like to be baptised. I came back with July, a year from when I started coming to church. Sarah wasn't sure, but Pastor Keith thought a bit sooner would be better. We asked, when do you think then? He came back with today's date. Sarah and myself laughed and asked if he was being serious. He was, but it was only 3 weeks away. I needed more time to get ready. I tried to think of some excuses, which they both laughed at. I said I'd get back to him. Driving home, I had that light bulb moment that Sarah told you about. It was him again. I decided there and then that that date was as good as any and he wasn't going to stop me. Keith also told us to think about our testimonies. Well, I couldn't stop thinking about it. What would I write? I can't stand in front of so many people. A few days later, I was reading the word for today's message and looked up the psalm for that day. As soon as I read it, I knew I had to read it at my baptism. It was Psalm 43, and I would like to share it with you. It goes, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." This psalm touched me from within because God has done these things for me. He rescued me from my old life. He is my strength. He sent the right people to teach me his word, and I felt rejected at times. But I also knew inside that God was lighting my way. That's why I'm here today to share with you all the joy of my new life with Jesus. I would also like to thank my special friends, Vanessa, Amanda and Elizabeth, for being there for me through everything. It has meant so much to me knowing I have friends like you. Last but not least, thank you, Sarah, for sharing this journey with me. It's been an emotional one for both of us, but we got through it all, and today is our new beginning.